Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Michael Davis. He helps business leaders and speakers improve their speeches and presentations. He is the founder of Speaking CPR. I have Dr. Cole Galloway. He's a recovering academic working in social justice and disability, primarily with babies. I have Daisy Sendeno. She has 20 years in the communications and coaching broadcasting, specializing in Latino market. And Karen Loomis, marketing and branding expert for small businesses and nonprofits, passionate about social change and an adjunct professor. The question I have for you today, how is the story you tell yourself impacting you? Michael, kick us off.
As a speech and story coach, I deal with this a lot with clients, and that is the lack of self-esteem they have or the fear that they let control their presentations. And so I taught them that the first action you should take when you're done speaking or giving a presentation is ask yourself one question: what did I do well? And then make a list of what you can improve on, because often the story we tell ourselves is, I'm not good enough. I'm going to make a mistake. Why am I here? There's a lot of that negative head trash that can impact just how we present ourselves, not just in speeches, but in our communication.
There are several things that happen in your mind when you are talking, communicating, interacting. Is the past, the present, and the future. And you're thinking about, what did I do? What happened? Why did I say that? And then what's going to happen? That's the future. So we're everywhere, but in the present moment. We're like distracting ourselves with thoughts and like a battle in your mind. What's going to happen if I say that? Or what happened when I said that? It's like a battle that doesn't let us go to the next level of who we can be.
But I think I would look at this maybe a little bit differently. I look at the stories we tell ourselves as not necessarily being a negative, but sometimes they're very much a positive in motivating us to do something that maybe we have fear. You know, like I know, you know, that I tell myself all the time, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. You know, all the things we worry about, you'll be fine. And ultimately I am fine. But the question is, do you believe yourself when you're telling yourself that story? And that's kind of the point of this conversation, is if you are telling yourself negative things, is that impacting your ability to be successful in life or to have greater opportunities? So you have to be careful about those stories you tell yourself, that they are not getting in the way of you being able to live your life fully.
Mm-hmm. Russ laughs at me because sometimes when I do something and I do it well, I'll say out loud, good job, Robin.
That's a great technique.
Nothing wrong with that, right?
One strategy that I heard both from my theater folks and also strangely from Zen Buddhists is this idea, and Karen said, and Robin said also, like, I'm doing okay or I'm doing fine, is to jump outside of yourself and watch that story, watch that movie. Mm-hmm. Sort of, you know, when you're watching a good series and there's a murder, you're not in that. You're, you know, you could be the detective and they get into a pickle and what are they going to do? It's always, I'm interested in what they're doing. I'm a little bit fearful of what they're doing. I'm connected, but I'm not so in it that I'm this. And I use that so much now, maybe too much. I jump out of myself and say, I'm wondering what the hero of this journey is going to do now. Now he's moved to a new place. He doesn't have a job. I know he's got the skills. What's the third act really going to be? And it's, for me, in my brain, it's a little bit of a magic. I sort of substitute, a Jedi mind trick myself to substitute fear with interest or anticipation, knowing that my hero's got skills and we're going to do okay. It's just a fascinating thing for me personally, and how I've heard that now multiple times from people.
I read an article just today that apparently in Iceland, there's a saying, which I'm not even going to attempt to say in their native language, which basically means
attempt to say that.
It means it'll all turn out in the end.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way they live their life. And they make the point in the article that a lot of Icelanders come from people who are running away from persecution and basically just got in boats and took off with no, like, hope this works. And they've come with that. And I think that we could all do well to pay more attention to that with the stories, because I know the stories I tell myself come from my past that have a lot of, you can't do that. You shouldn't do that. Why are you doing that? Who says you could do that? And I have to like tell that voice to shut up on a regular basis.
We're all limited to an extent. Well, we are limited by our past experiences, but I love what Karen said. You can create a new movie in your head that shows you being successful, even if you haven't achieved something. And I'm curious with Cole, when you step outside of yourself, do you find that you're less critical of you?
Oh, yeah. Oh, everything, because I am just addicted to narrative structures and stand-up, comedy, everything to do with structure. So when I do, and from, I'm a Sesame Street generation kid, so I've been in front of the TV every day, all day. So when I step out, I'm just really, I'm interested in myself more. I like myself more. That's probably dissociation, and that's probably going to lead to...
Robin's going to have to call you up.
No problem. But it's just a... It's just a nice break from that cycle. And I'm always interested. And it's funny, Robin said it'll all work out in the end. My Scotch-Irish background says, yeah, and it could be shit. So don't count on that. Yes, everything happens for a reason, and that doesn't help me at all. So I have that kind of fatalistic thing. Yeah. But when I step outside, I'm just watching an Irish film with a guy that, of course, bury the boy. But it's very different. For that, it's really helped me.
I love it because I think the way that we talk to ourselves, we will never talk to anyone. The way that we interact with our self-narrative, internal dialogue, we will not say the things that we tell ourselves to anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but see, I don't fall into
that. No.
Yeah, yes. That's not my thing. My thing might be that I tell myself a story that might be a little bit truer, might not come as true as I think, right? Like I have created this phenomenal story with this great ending. And that's part of the whole thing with stories is that we're trying to establish an ending so that we feel more comfortable.
Mm. Yes.
Right? Yes, because the fear and the discomfort that we experience has less to do with the story, has more to do with the outcome. And we don't know what that outcome is going to be. And we're trying to navigate and control that outcome so that we can stay in our comfort zone, maybe.
I've let go of outcome. I don't know. I think it's also I'm lazy. Lazy helps. You guys are very driven, I bet, and outcome oriented. I'm kind of like, I'm improv by design, less than script. So I know it's emergent. When I study babies, I know they emerge from multiple factors. So boy, just relaxing. But that idea, Michael's idea of just talking about story, I think can be cathartic. Just understanding that there is a story going on. I think, I don't know, Michael, if you see that in your work, like when people acknowledge that, they go, wow, that's a whole nother factor I can work with.
Well, that's a good point. Sometimes we have to help them be aware that they're even telling themselves a story because it's become so habitual. As I've gotten older, I'm becoming obsessed with habits. What are the good habits versus bad? And when it comes to communication, it all starts with all that crap in our own heads. It's like, we got to stop that first. And I love hearing you speak, Karen, because most of the people I meet do not have that that positive story in their heads.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's a huge jump start for you just in living a great life.
Well, and it's funny because I remember, and maybe you guys do too, when you were younger, and by younger, I mean in high school or junior high, and when a sports team had an event or a game coming up, you know, the cheerleaders would put all these great things on their lockers that said, PMA, positive mental attitude. I mean, truthfully, we've been learning this for years. Mm-hmm. Why are we not using it?
Yeah, because sometimes it's more comfortable to go what Michael said. I love what he said. Sometimes we have to understand that we are telling ourselves a story. Is we're addicted to the same narrative. We don't know that we're in that loop. Unless somebody comes and say, hey, what the hell are you telling yourself? Are you out of your mind? It has to be like an awakened moment. And also not pushing those feelings. I'm thinking that if I feel uncomfortable, oh, what's going on right here? It's a trigger. And to be aware of that, that's when you click, oh, wait a minute. Why am I telling myself this? What am I getting out of this? Because there's a reward. There is a reward, even if you don't even know. There is people are going to feel sorry for me. Ah, there's a reward. And if you realize, okay, this reward, I don't want it. because it's not helping me to go to the next level. That's when you wake up and say, I don't want this, I think.
Yeah. Well, and I love the point that Michael made. You have to notice you're telling yourself a story. Yeah. You can't stop it or even recognize it if you don't notice you're telling yourself a story. Mm. And so that is where this 10-minute story is going to end. So thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.